Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. It's a great pleasure to speak with Professor John Yoo, Distinguished Visiting Professor, School of Civic Leadership at the University of Texas at Austin, as well as the Emanuel S. Heller Chair in Law and Distinguished Professor of Law at the University of California at Berkeley. He's speaking of an article he's published at the Civitas Institute about presidents, strong-minded presidents, defying strong-minded courts and what happens. Abraham Lincoln, it is early in the war, 1861, April, I believe, just after the outrage in South Carolina. We're looking at a general arresting a man suspect of being a Confederate or a rebel or rebellious or in some fashion a saboteur. His name is Merryman. The Chief Justice at the time is Taney, the same Roger Taney who was responsible for the Dred Scott decision of some years earlier under the Buchanan administration, the same Judge Taney who's suspect of having leaked the results of the vote to the president so he was prepared in his inaugural speech, that same Judge Taney. However, he wanted Merryman brought before his court. John, this is as dramatic as it gets. Lincoln knew that the judge demanded Merryman. What happened?
This is an amazing story, and in some respects, you think that it's all Taney's fault. Taney, by chance, he is from Baltimore, Maryland. He happens to be physically present in Baltimore, Maryland, when some people in Maryland, led by this fellow Merryman, tried to raise Confederate troops, essentially, and attack Union troops who were trying to get from the north to defend Washington. And in those days, there was a train line that stopped in Baltimore, the north of Baltimore. And then the troops would have to walk through downtown Baltimore to get to another train to get them to walk down to Washington. So the rebels were going to try to attack. And some troops had been harassed on that way. So Merryman is arrested by Union forces. He's held at Fort McHenry, the one about the Star Spangled Banner. He's held there at Fort McHenry. Taney gets a writ for habeas corpus from Merryman's lawyer, and Taney issues a demand that Merryman be released from military detention and brought into court. The general refuses to obey, and so Taney issues an opinion called Ex Parte Merryman, where he says, and you can hear echoes of this today in Judge Boasberg, he says, there's no declared war. Merryman is an American. He has the right to due process. He has the right to a writ of habeas corpus. I order him to be released. This general isn't listening to me, so I'm sending the writ to President Lincoln in Washington, D.C. Famously, Taney then appeared on the front steps of the Baltimore courthouse and said to a crowd, I think it was estimated 2,000-3,000 people, said that the American liberty was at stake and would crumble under dictatorship. Lincoln pretended he never got it, but he did say that he would respond to it. At the same time, he didn't release Merryman, nor did he release any of the other Confederate prisoners taken behind the lines in those early days of the Civil War. He gave a famous speech, a famous July 4th, 1861 special message to Congress, where he asked Congress to approve all the other extraordinary measures he took at the beginning of the Civil War, like raising an army and navy, paying them out of the treasury, imposing a blockade on the South, sending the troops into offensive operations into the South. Congress approved most of them, but Congress did not approve this detention, and it didn't approve holding them without access to the courts. And so I think historically, this is the only example where a president defied a direct judicial order.
Significant to me, the way you've laid the case out, this threat in 1861 was existential to the Republic. and Lincoln was acting in a fashion to defend his sworn constitutional duties. That is not now the case with Judge Boasberg. But, John, I confess, as an amateur reader, it's surprisingly familiar.
Yes.
And the court is demanding information. It can't actually demand the human beings who were sent to El Salvador, we believe, because they're not available. But he's demanding information. And the president's decision, including three cabinet officers, we're told in the news, is to refuse the court. That isn't quite the same as habeas corpus, but it is a direct challenge between a district judge and a president. And that's not existential, but it might be significant at the ballot box. Does that weigh in here? Are we just talking Constitution straight across?
No, John, you're quite right. There's a big difference between the Civil War and today, which is, as you say, the Civil War was an existential threat to our nation. You know, this secession occurs and the country is done. You know, we're no longer the Union. And Lincoln said he would make many comments like this. He would say, were all the laws but one, meaning everything else but habeas corpus, to fall just so we observe this one law? Or he would say about the Constitution sometimes, of course, to save the life, sometimes you have to amputate a limb. And he would make these, but he never claimed that he did that. He never said, I am violating the Constitution to save the country. He always said, saving the Union is my chief duty as the president, right? That's my job. The highest constitutional imperative is to keep the country together. You can't have a constitution unless you have a union first. That, as you say, John, the drama of it, the high stakes are not present here. We are not under an existential threat from Venezuela or this gang. They are a national security threat, though. On the other hand, President Trump is not saying, I will defy the courts. He's got people around him and people out in public who are saying that, but he has said, I will obey judicial orders. I think what's going on is that the executive branch here, claiming state secrets, getting the cabinet officers involved, they are trying to say, you can't allow a single district judge, one of those, you know, hundreds and hundreds of district judges you mentioned earlier, to be able to stop an important national security program nationwide. Maybe they can come to court and represent each individual for a writ of habeas corpus. But what you can't say is the president has to be stopped entirely in his efforts to protect the country from these foreign threats. That goes far beyond the judicial role.
The 18th century acts that are cited in these cases, in this case it's the Alien Enemies Act, does that weigh in a fashion that has not been present at the earlier episodes we were talking about? There is really an act of Congress to protect the country in a time of war. Even if it's not an existential war, it certainly is grounds to worry about national security.
Well, yes, this is a very important difference because, for example, I was at the Justice Department after 9/11, and I was involved in some of the very early skirmishing with the courts about Guantanamo Bay. The Bush administration made similar arguments. We argued that the federal courts didn't have jurisdiction over Guantanamo Bay. We made similar arguments to President Trump. Courts in wartime would never get involved with telling the president how to deploy troops, how to move people around, how to get people out of the country who are enemies and so on. But we didn't have the Alien Enemies Act then involved because it wasn't a declared war. Today, President Trump, I think, is using the Alien Enemies Act, even though it is unprecedented, even though it hasn't been used in over 70 years, because it might allow for faster deportations. If he succeeds in court, he's going to say, I don't have to go through this one-by-one due process hearing for everyone we need to kick out of the country, and I don't have to reveal classified information in public. The problem for him, though, is that the Alien Enemies Act is narrow. It only applies during time of a declared war, and these are the statute's words, or an invasion, or some kind of what it calls predatory incursion, which sounds like pirate attacks, but it makes clear that all those three have to be committed by a foreign government. And only when a foreign government conducts an invasion, we're at war with or some kind of incursion, can you then take all the citizens of that country and kick them out? The problem there is, we're not in declared war. So is this an invasion? The Trump White House says it is. I'm not sure the courts are going to agree.
And that is to be determined. So what we're going to turn to now, given that we've explicated as much as possible, the Boasberg matter is not resolved. We're in the middle of decisions being made as recently as minutes ago. So we're going to turn to why defying the courts is not a practical solution to an administration. Why? Because in this particular instance, the Roberts Court can be extremely helpful for the ambition that the Trump administration has set for itself. This is John Yoo, professor of law at the University of California at Berkeley, a visiting professor of School of Civic Leadership at the University of Texas, and writing at the Civitas Institute about the news, the courts, and the Constitution.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slipcovers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.